Hey there, Freedom Fighters. My name is Andrew Warner. I record these interviews with entrepreneurs for an audience of real entrepreneurs who are building their companies. People like today's guest who was listening to me, and now he's on here to do this interview. If you're listening to me, not only are you an entrepreneur, you're probably somebody who's got this growth mindset, who loves to learn and wants to improve. And if you've got a team, you probably want them to do the same. Here's what that meant in the past. Imagine you have somebody on your team who is now getting opportunities to do some podcast interviews. Maybe get to speak on stage. And the first time that they do it, they don't do a really good job. What would you do in that situation? What most bosses would do is sit down and then be the expert and sit down and say, all right, here's what you have to do. I was weak like you. I grew strong. Now I'm somebody who knows it. And then they give them tip after tip after tip, and then they move on with their day. And when the person doesn't grow, they think, they just don't have it. They don't have that talent that I have. What some bosses will do is say, you know what? There's this online course. I'll sign you up for that. Go spend a couple of months on that. And then they will show you how to improve. And in reality, a podcast and presentation may not be the employee's full-time job. It's definitely not the heart of what they do. I don't know that they need to spend that much time. Omer Glass, the founder who you're about to meet, came up with another solution. It's called Growth Space. He says, you know what? How about we just match the employee up with an expert who's done it, who can not just give advice and move on, but actually see the person do the work, give advice on improving, watch them improve, give them more feedback, and be there like a real coach, a real teacher, a real mentor. And so he productized it and he called the company Growth Space. And what's exciting about the business is how fast the business itself has grown. And also the way that he was able to make it grow by realizing that individuals probably can't pay for this type of thing. Selling one-to-one is a difficult thing. What if you just go B2B? And by going to B2B, by finding this new way to help employees grow, not only did he grow his company, but he kept his clients happy, grew their people, and also reduced churn. That's the whole goal here. I invited him here to talk about Growth Space, how well it's doing, and to tell me over and over again why he will not reveal publicly what his revenue is, even though he's doing phenomenally. And we can do it thanks to a sponsor called HostGator, which has hosts my website right now, has hosted for Omer, and we'll talk about that later and why I recommend you use HostGator. Omer, good to have you here, man.
Hey, Andrew.
Dude, do you dog food your own product? Have you used Growth Space for anything? You have. For what? What do you use Growth Space for?
So I'm an addict. So I use Growth Space personally to work on my leadership skills, to work on my growth hacking skills, to work on my HR skills. And this is about it for now. And I dog food it to all my employees.
But you're saying growth hacking. So you need to improve your growth. You want to do some growth hacking. You've hired somebody to come and talk to you on a regular basis and tell you how to growth hack. You're leading the company.
Yeah, exactly.
So give me an example of something that you've done. What's a growth hack technique that's come out of these mentorship sessions? Why are you
smiling?
That's a
good
one.
So for example, and I don't want to reveal the secrets because I really like the way we do stuff, but basically you can think of growth hacking as everything which is not regular. You know, cold call leads to a call, leads to a second call, leads to a sale. So These are all the aspects that will make what you do like contagious or like create more creative ways to get from client to client usually. So you can think of people using Growth Space with one company. A lot of people move to another company and then they introduce us to the relevant decision maker there because they, as employees, got like good experience from Growth Space. This is one specific growth hacking technique, like someone already used us, for example.
But how do you do that? How do you encourage them to actually take you to the next company?
So we have data about who used our product. And then we basically can have the information, like it's publicly available if they're changing their status on LinkedIn, right?
And then you get their email address because there are tons of tools. That's how we can find your email address if we ever need it, for example. And then you reach out to them and say, you've switched companies. You can still keep this thing that you've had going. That's brilliant. Okay, that's great. All right. And to do that systematically, that makes a ton of sense. All right. And I could understand also how that wouldn't be something that would come out of an online course because you've got a unique company, different type of relationship with your customers and others. All right, give me a sense of revenue. I know you're not going to give me the actual number, but what can you tell me about revenue?
So it's growing a lot. So we've been growing for the past 8 quarters at a pace of between 50 to 100% quarter over quarter. And now we have a sales team of 8 professionals. Like, I'm not selling anymore. I will tell you only that. I sold the first $1 million ARR.
The first million in sales in the business was just you.
Yeah.
Okay, now you've got 8 salespeople.
Me and my partner, but mostly me, like 95%.
Okay. All right, I'll get in a moment into how you ended up doing sales by what you did in the early days to grow sales. Mm-hmm. But let's talk a little bit about what you did just before this. You were a co-founder of something called Careerology. What's Careerology and who did you create that with?
Oh, so actually, I created it with one of these experts, like the coach I told you about. He's one of the first coaches in the world. He's an Israeli coach. His name is Samuel Merhav. And he coached like the senior leaders, like politicians and senior business leaders of a lot of Israeli and global companies. And I once participated in one of his seminars. It was like a leadership seminar. It was during my master's. And then after the seminar, I told him, I want to work for you for free because he's impressed me so much. So okay. He told me, I have an idea. And back then he used a tool called Simpleology, which basically helps you to be more creative, like more energetic. I don't know, something like that.
Okay.
And then he said, yeah, I have a good career methodology. So I want to call it Careerology and teach people how to manage their career. So it was basically online course for career development.
Okay. And so you had a brand in him. He had a reputation. He had experience. You just needed to turn it into a product that you could sell online. And then how did it go?
Great question. So the product was amazing. Like, his insights are incredible. His brand was on spot, but we went B2C instead of B2B, which was a big mistake.
And you sold it how?
B2C instead of B2B.
Meaning going out to individuals.
Yes.
And trying to sell it. And how did you try to sell it to individuals?
Just online marketing. Back just then I used the Hostgator, I think.
Oh, great. So you put up a Hostgator site. What'd you do? You went to Facebook, you bought ads. I guess LinkedIn ads weren't a thing back then. Am I right?
No, it was mostly Google.
It was Google ads. Okay. And then the thing, it wasn't selling. How long were you running it?
For a year. Piloting. And I think the problem there was that we didn't manage to really crack the experience for the individual. Like, the lessons, the content was great. When CEOs listen to the content, they say, this is what young people need to do. But then when young people used it, they didn't use it like, and they didn't do the homework and they didn't tell to their friends. So we haven't cracked the individual's solution, basically. And I think now I kind of understand why, because it's great content, but it's generic. I cannot expect Andrew and Omer and Dan to listen to the same recorded, pre-recorded videos and get the benefits they need because we're different individuals.
Okay, so this was from 2010 to roughly 2012.
Yeah.
Roughly. You then had like what, 9 years, 8 years doing management consulting?
Before or after?
Right after that.
Right. Okay. So right after that, I joined the management consulting firm from 2012 until approximately 2017. And in between 2017 and 2018, I tried and started different things, like failed a lot. And
what's one idea that failed?
Oh, a lot failed.
One idea that one that
failed
was
that I really like, it was really close.
Yeah.
So basically, I don't know if I can talk like the details, but the son of a major, like the son of the owner of a major rental company, global rental company, one of the top three, came to me and told me that they want to create a car sharing startup.
Okay.
Under their brand. So he had some ideas and he said, well, we have to do something completely different. So we partnered, we got like $1 million seed from the company. And we ran with this, and this was amazing. It like flew. Like in 3 months, we had an 8-people team. We had a product like in place. We had everything, vehicles, branding, whatever you need. And then another company acquired this company, so they just shut it the project. So like misfortune. But retrospectively, we do something much more interesting now. But back then, it sucked.
Okay. Meanwhile, your friend Dan was a chief operating officer at a company called Signals Analytics. How big was the company? How many employees?
150, 200.
Okay. Backed by Sequoia. Mm-hmm. And people were leaving. He had some churn. What was the churn issues?
I think a lot of companies experience churn when they grow, especially when in a very competitive market, especially in R&D.
Especially now.
Yeah, we're seeing it now big time. And so he experienced churn. I don't think something in particular, like it was a good, like healthy company, fast growth, etc. But people were leaving and he tried to understand why. So it appeared that people were leaving because they were not feeling they're being developed enough. So he did some surveys, interviewed people.
What do you mean by not feeling developed enough? I never heard anyone say, I'm leaving because I'm not developed enough. They say, I'm stagnant, I'm bored, I'm not as excited about work, I'm looking for something else.
I'm not developing. Actually, I just spoke today.
They literally said that?
Yeah, they're not feeling they're being developed. They're developed.
What does that mean? They're not being developed. They mean that they just aren't growing as people. They're not what?
I think it's a good question for Dan. So you can invite him and ask him specifically. I will ask him, but I cannot pick up the phone now.
But what you're taking away from it is the sense that they want to be better people. Like going to a job is almost what going to college should have been. Yes. You don't just get paid, but you grow so that then you can get the next job that's better than you would have taken had you not taken this job. Yes. That's what they're thinking of. Or go start a company or do something different. You want to acquire not just money, but a superpower that then will make you a better, not necessarily person in general, though that's nice, but better employed next time. All right. I think that's what it is. And so you told our producer how much money he spent. I don't know if you feel comfortable saying it publicly. No. You don't. Yeah, I see you shaking your head. All right. So were you in Israeli intelligence?
No.
No, in the army. I can't tell you how many entrepreneurs I've interviewed here from Israel who were in intelligence, and those guys will never spill anything. I can get other guests to reveal stuff, but once they're in intelligence, forget it. It's just not going to work. All right.
No, but so you're not going to give us that number. Like, I was in the special forces.
So, you are. What special forces mean?
It's one of the elite units in the Israeli military.
And what makes you elite? I'm looking at you now. I'm trying to get a sense. Do you have big muscles? You don't? Do you have?
No, I'm not that strong. Most of my exercise today is yoga. But
you look like a yoga guy.
Bigger.
Yeah. Okay.
So when you go to the military, you can go for different elite units. One of them was the unit I was accepted to.
And so when you say elite, what do you get to do that other people don't do?
Like a special forces.
What do you do? Do you get to carry different guns? Do you get to do anything? Do you get to jump out of airplanes?
Yeah, kind of. Do you know the Netflix series Fauda?
Yes.
Like that?
More or less. That is one of the... That is one of the best kept secrets on Netflix. It is so good. It is so well done. It is so well done that Netflix then commissioned the writer, I think, of Fauda, and then the head actor to do another show, which they started publicizing a lot, but it's not nearly as good. Fauda just kind of nailed something. He's like a Fauda guy.
Not like Fauda, like, put it like, think about it.
Yes, yes.
Decrease the volume 90%.
Yes.
Something like that.
a more realistic version of that. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm with you on this. All right. So meanwhile, your buddy, Dan, he can't keep people in. He's realizing that they're not developing themselves. He sits down with you and he says, I think we could do something with this.
No.
What did you decide to do?
Back then, he asked me a question. Uh-huh. Because he tried a lot of things and he didn't get the effectivity. Like he brought in lectures, workshops, solutions, anywhere he can find. And in New York, right? Not in Tel Aviv. So, and nothing worked. Like he did a lot of surveys afterwards and it didn't really improve the situation. So he just called me and asked me, Omer, how do you create an effective employee development? And my initial response was, nobody knows.
Why would you say nobody knows? Is that
because there is no
you
data?
Did that?
Because okay. There is no data. It's like nobody knew if their marketing is working 20 years ago, right? Marketing 20 years ago, it's not personalized. It's generic. Banners, billboards, TV ads. It's not data-driven and it's not connected to the business KPIs. So you spend money on marketing, maybe something will come back. You have no idea. Not like today, that everything is measurable to the dollar. You know exactly how much a lead costs.
So if I'm understanding you right, Omer, you're saying you don't, I've talked to companies that offer employee perks, discounts at the gym, health benefits, and all that stuff. They don't know whether any of those discounts and perks keep people at the company longer or make them happier. Right? That's what you're saying?
Because I like to distinct between employee wellness, which is the gym, it's a concert, nice food, etc., and employee development. Employee development is actually helping you to become, to present better, to do better growth hacking, to communicate better, to receive better feedback, whatever you need, but it's like professional growth. So let's distinct them. I'm saying in the latter, it's very hard to predict whether the program you're buying will do something. B, it's very hard to measure it. Most of the measurement is based on utilization. It's based on self-reporting. And my mother is a librarian and she just had an IT course, right? And she told me this was the worst course ever. It was boring. I fell asleep, etc. And then came the review and she gave the dude 5 stars out of 5. Why is that? Yeah. It's a nice old guy. Like, let him have it. I don't care. Right? That's a problem. That's a core problem of the industry.
Right. Right.
I'm not with real. You. I it's totally not reliable and it's not relevant.
Okay. And the best that I've seen people do is ask employees to take tests after they learn something. What's wrong with taking a test afterwards as a measurement of success?
It's not bad, but it's very hard. Like, how do you take tests in leadership? Or in building product roadmap.
You teach a few leadership skills and then you ask a few questions to make sure the person understood them. And
no,
then
but
you have a
leadership
score.
Is like swimming. You can learn about swimming techniques, but eventually leadership is swimming and communicating is swimming, right? You can't ask questions about swimming in order to understand how do you swim.
Okay. All right. And so you said it's impossible or we just don't have enough data on this. So then what did you do next? How did that lead to this company, to Growth Space?
So we said, okay, let's read about the industry first. We're both ex-consultants. We like to investigate things before we dive in. And then we went and read online and looked for like different articles about the effectiveness of learning and development or employee development. There is one article I really like. You should read it. It's called Where Companies Go Wrong with Their Learning and Development. And it's a Harvard Business Review from 2019. It's more or less when we started the company. And they asked a lot of people in the United States, like they gathered different articles, like different surveys, one from McKinsey, another one from 24/7, something like that. And asked people, like McKinsey asked people, is your performance being better because of this whole learning and development you get from the company? And 75% said no. And another one asked people, have you applied skills learning your learning and development into your day-to-day? That's what it's all about. 88% of the people said no. So we said, okay, it's not just us, it's the industry. And then we said, okay, so we need to create something that will help people enable growth. We're not growing them, they're growing themselves. We're just supporting them, but make it real, reliable, and relevant. What is real? Real is basically something that happened, something that changed, like actually changed.
Okay.
Reliable is basically predictable. So if I'm buying 100 programs for 100 different employees, I can know for with high level of certainty that it will work. It will be real. And relevant, right. It like growth can be in a lot of forms. Some of the forms are not relevant to the company, to the KPIs, to the day-to-day. Like I can grow in my spiritual exercise, which will be great for Omer as an individual, but right. not for growth space as a company.
Okay. And then at what point did you decide, I think I need to start this? Well, actually, how did you come up with mentorship one-on-one?
The basic concept that we ask ourselves, okay, there is a big problem in the industry, but if we needed to solve this problem just for one employee, what would we do? And my intuitive response was, I will understand what they need and find the right person who can help them. Right? It's relatively straightforward. Okay. 99% of the people I'm speaking with are saying just the exact same thing. So we said, okay, so basically we know the solution and everyone will tell you the same thing. The only problem is how to take it from one to thousands. How do you scale this?
Yeah. Okay. And then also, can people afford it? When it comes to, for example, growth hacking, can a company afford to get a real growth hacker, not someone who plays one on the internet and blogs about it, but a real growth hacker, and hire them for that for each one of their team members? Right? So
the answer is yes. And we work, our mentors are chief technology officers in like mid-sized companies. Like 500 employees. These are well-paid professionals that are working with our team leads, directors of our customers.
Why?
A, they get paid. And this is a nice side gig.
But this is let's take a leadership trainer. Someone who's at a company, who's already a leader at a company, would be a mentor on the Growth Space platform?
In another company.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the real leader, meaning exec at another company, mm-hmm. they're available on your platform. What would that person get paid?
I'm not sure I want to disclose that. Again,
are we talking thousands, hundreds of dollars per session? What are we talking about?
Say hundreds, not thousands.
Okay. Hundreds. So my theory on this is that leaders don't necessarily do it for the money, that teachers don't necessarily do it for the money. They have ulterior benefits. One of them is maybe the company will hire my agency to do growth hacking for them once they understand it. The other one is I found that people who are really good at a topic want to teach it so that they get even better at it, that there's a sense of mastery that comes from explaining to someone else. Is that it?
Yeah. And you miss two things. So one is a lot of people, and you're talking about professionals. I'm just like professionals in growth hacking, that their work is work with other people on growth hacking.
Yes.
I'm talking about people like you. Andrew, you can be a great mentor in our platform. Why is that? You're incredible in interviewing people, right? And let's take this skill.
I think so too, right. And so if I think about my skill is what? My skill is I could help people do podcasts. I'm noticing that more and more execs are being asked to do podcasts. They suck at telling their stories and then they hate themselves afterwards.
You're great. You can do storytelling. I will tell you. You can do storytelling.
Storytelling.
You can do presentation. You can do public speaking.
Right.
Great skills.
Okay. Now, if I were to do it and you said, Andrew, you get...
Go ahead. Let's say, Andrew, you will get...
Yeah.
You will get paid. It's different for different categories, different geographies. Let's say you get paid. And you get paid nicely, not your normal hourly fee, but you get paid nicely. But you develop your mentoring skills because now you're not a mentor. no one is paying you to mentor and teach other people to do what you do. I think, I don't know, but maybe you do that. This is one. Number two, we have a great community. So basically we train you also to be a mentor. We teach you to be a mentor. You're being taught by top coaches of like how to coach or how to mentor people. Number three, you're connecting to other experts like yourself. Like we put people together and the networking is another nice thing. And it's a great gig economy. You never know when you will quit your job and will move to Thailand, and you can always work as a mentor in our platform.
Yeah, I get, you know what, for me, one of the big benefits would be I want to figure out how to teach the things that I know well. If I get to work with people without having to go and post ads or email my audience and say that I'm available and then figure out who the right person is and who's not and all that, then it's a huge bonus. And then by teaching, I can do like a write-up after each one of my sessions of the key topics that come up. And then maybe eventually it turns out that storytelling or origin storytelling or how to be a podcast guest becomes a topic that I care enough about that I want to write a book about, maybe give presentations in, and then become the expert or maybe create an agency. And got it. Now I've got it all just because Growth Space hooked me up with a few people who really needed my help. And I also get all their case studies afterwards and stories that I could use in my book and on stage and blah, blah, blah. Okay,
not
I get
only
it.
That, right. So, not only that, you get reviews, like actual reliable, again, reviews on the actual change that happened. And these reviews are not only from the individual you worked with, but also their managers.
Because they were able to become better because, let me take a moment to talk about my sponsor, and I promise this is relevant to what we're talking about on non-interrupting. Then I want to figure out, once you figured out this model, what did you do next? So Omer, here, my sponsor is HostGator. You've used HostGator. I've used HostGator for years. I don't want to just say because we use it, people should use it. Let's give them an idea of what could be done. As I listen to your story, Omer, there's an idea that's been in my head that I wonder if somebody should create, and you tell me if this makes sense. When I want to learn chess, this is one of my obsessions lately. I do watch videos on chess. I don't benefit enough from them. Where I benefited the most is the times when I've had a coach that will analyze my actual games and say, this is what you should do. When I got into video editing, because I wanted to become better at shooting videos of my family and all, I would take all these online classes and I wasn't making enough progress. I wish there was someone I could say, how do I improve my workflow? How do I make this 1 minute video more interesting? I'd love to show it to someone who's an editor, get feedback, and then improve, and then show them next week what I've done. And then they also hold me accountable. I couldn't get it. And so my video editing stalled and I stopped. When it came to writing my book, Stop Asking Questions, a book on how to have deep conversations with people, I hired an editor. Once a week, she would give me assignments. She would give me feedback. It really helped me grow. So what I'm noticing is if I want to get good, I need a human being to give me guidance, to give me feedback, to hold me accountable, answer my really specific sticky questions. A lot of these things are not work that I do within the confines of a company. They're personal. Do you think that there's room for somebody to say, I'm going to create the growth space of hobbies, where if someone wants to take up chess, they could find a real coach. If someone wants to do video editing, they could find a real coach. It's almost like Skillshare is, you know, where you can go and take a course on any topic, but for one-on-one mentorship. Do you think that would work for individuals? Should someone steal that idea, or do you think it won't work? Be open with me, Omer.
That's a great question. First of all, I must be humble and say that a lot of people come to me and ask me if this idea will work, if that idea will work. Some ideas will not work, but for most ideas, I would say go and try, and the market will tell you, right? I had no idea if growth space will work, and then we started selling, and when people pay for what you have to offer, then you know it makes sense. Now, I know that there are models that I have one friend who teaches English, like online, right? So people buy skills B2C. I think B2C is completely different than B2B. Like it's a completely different ball game. And I think it's a good idea, but you know, like Seth Godin says, like nobody really knows what will work and you have to fail 30 times in order to find the right idea. So yeah, I encourage you to do this hobbits sharing.
All right, if anyone takes this idea and needs a hosting company, go to hostgator.com/mixergy. They'll give you a great price, make it easy for you to get started. And frankly, tell me about it. I'd love to be a part of this. And here's the way that I would suggest doing it, Omer. I think having a standalone site the way Skillshare has is not going to work. I think it's better to have a site that then gets syndicated to other people. So you could imagine, for example, if there is someone who has a website that teaches chess, and there are a bunch of them. I love chessable.com, for example, obviously chess.com. They don't have this find a mentor site, right? You let them white label it as their own mentor, chess mentor, they put it up on their site, and then their people can find a person to work with one-on-one, and it's an extra revenue source. If I decide to create a podcasting website where I teach people about podcasting, I'm not going to be able to create a whole mentorship platform for it. I would maybe just take the subset of mentors who work on podcasting, podcast editing, sound design, interview style, equipment, whatever it is, and I would take those out of this big company, put it on my website and say, look, if you like all this and you need someone to work with one-on-one, don't ask me about what mic to get. Don't ask me to help you with your lighting and setup. Hire one of these mentors. They'll work with you. That I think is the model, right?
Exactly. And just like Amazon, focus on books, not on everything. Find podcasts.
Okay. You're saying maybe, Andrew, don't go chess and podcast.
Category. Find one category.
Podcast editing only. Got it. Only. And then I go to someone like Pat Flynn and say, look, you have all this stuff on your site. You surely people need to get help setting this stuff up, send them over to us. Well, all right. I love this idea. Maybe I should just run with the idea and go to HostGator. All right. Everyone else, HostGator.com/Mixergy. And if you steal this idea, good luck. And if you want to partner with me on it, hit me up. And if not, and you have a better idea, also HostGator will be happy to host it. Inexpensive hosting that's done right. Okay. So now you have this idea. You know where it's going. You want to start to figure out whether it makes sense. What did you do to iterate, to figure out what was working? What was the first version?
So the first version was like with almost zero technology, and we started with coaching, just like the podcasting. Why did you start with coaching? Because it's the easiest. These are trained people who know how to train other people. They're great for a lot of soft skills, and we could match them with a lot of people and get a benefit. So this is how we started. It was like almost manual behind the scenes. We just created the presentation, came to the first customer, and then they bought. And we're like, yay, great, 5 programs. I need to find 5 coaches now. And then the second one bought. And then the third one bought. And the third one was a massive company. It was almost like
I know the company. I don't know if you're going to tell me, but I've interviewed the founder. I know them. Let's go to the first one. The first company that you called with this idea to see if they would buy it before you even had coaches ready and lined up, how did you get them to say yes? What was the need that they had?
So it's funny because when we started, we were more focused than coaching. We came with the concept of coaching for millennials. We tried to find, you know, the like smallest addressable market.
What do you mean by coaching for millennials? It's what?
We said, okay, we understand like the vision, the big vision that we're working on right now, but we need to be specific. So we needed to find one channel of employee development that will make sense. So again, this was coaching. And then we said, okay, who needs coaching? So executives gather coaching. Who doesn't get a coaching are the millennials who are, they do not have patience for group things, for boring, like generic stuff. It's all about them. They're moving from company to company. So we thought it's a good idea to offer coaching, brand coaching for millennials. It's just the place to start. So we started with that. And then the company that we sold this concept to gave us people in their 50s. So we said, okay, let it be 50s. And then,
what did they want? What type
they
of,
wanted
what did they
to develop their mid-level managers.
To be able to do what? To become better managers, to guide their people better? Is there
better managers,
that's the type
of thing. Work on better manage. Usually it's management and leadership.
Okay. And so where did you go and get the coaches for them?
ICF database.
What database?
ICF. ICF is the International Coaching Federation.
Ah, okay.
So it's public. Right. You can find coaches. So we found coaches and then matched them. How did we match them? Senior coach, senior executive, junior coach, junior employee. This, like, it was very not sophisticated. And then what we've seen is that sometimes a coach can do an amazing job in one incident, but a lousy job in another. And then we went for the data and tried to understand what they're working on. And we saw that it's interesting. those who are good at leadership are not necessarily good working on productivity issues, for example. They're good in leadership. And then we started bringing data into our system, or basically tagging the experts. Back then it was only coaches, according to their field of expertise. So we basically broke down the concept of general coaching, which derives from the way coaching is being done, because the concept behind coaching is, I don't know nothing, I just know how to ask questions. You have all the information, I'm the questions asker, right?
Yes.
But yeah. We said, no one needs coaching, really. Like, I'm sorry, some people need coaching, like some people need psychologists, but no one needs coaching and no one needs psychologists. Because why do you go to a psychologist? Because you have a trauma. Why do you go to a coach? Because you need to figure out your career, because you want to communicate better, because you want to do public speaking. I don't know. So we started using taxonomy, which is a term from the data world, or just list of competencies or families of competencies, and basically tagging the coaches according what is their field of expertise, and then matching them accordingly, and then rating them accordingly. And then we started getting data about the actual performance of each expert, which basically transformed our performance and really increased our predictability of success.
I think, Omar, I would get a better understanding if there was something specific. So I get that people don't really need a coach. What they need is something like, how do I explain to my boss, or how do I get somebody to produce their work on time? Maybe that's a problem, right? So I'm guessing you then find a coach who could help get that result for them. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay. And then how do you know that you've succeeded? Do you have them keep track of whether the employees are returning their work on time?
So I think the beauty of having the manager involved in the definition of what do you want to work on and in the measurement is that it's not that complex. Like understanding every manager in the world know exactly where is their headache with their employees, right? Like one of my employees is too stubborn. One of them, I don't know, he can't make like things happen. I don't know why. One is then not receptive to feedback. I don't know. A lot of things can happen. And the manager knows. And it's very easy to say, okay, so what will be different in your day-to-day if something like that will happen, right? If this will improve. So next time I will provide feedback, I will not get a reject immediately. He will wait like 10 seconds. I don't know, something very specific. So the combination of having the employee and manager agree upon what are we going to work on, and after the program is over, to measure success enables us basically to get better understanding of whether a behavioral change has occurred.
Got it. All right. You're asking them ahead of time how the world will be different if they succeed. And then you're checking in and seeing, did we get that result for you? Okay. So the first company you got had thousands of employees and they said yes to you. Why did they say yes to you? Is it the management background? Is it your smile? What is it?
I guess my smile. No, because a need. It's always a business need.
That they just had a need to get there.
I approached someone I studied with 10 years ago. I just studied with her. She wasn't even like a good friend. We just knew each other. And I told her, hey, I have a cool concept of matching people with great coaches. And then she said, it's interesting. We do need some in Australia, Denmark, Belgium, South Africa, United States, UK. So she said, okay, so why don't we just pilot? Just one here, one there. And then they just went for it, because what's the risk? Giving five people, worst case, they will get bad coaches. Okay. You know, $5,000. Not a big thing. But it worked really well and people really liked it. And then it grew from like six people to 50 people to 140 and like skip people.
That's the thing about companies, that if you sell it to an individual, even if it's like $5, they won't say, well, it's $5, who cares? What's the big deal? But if you say to a company, let's give it a shot, what's $5,000? Sure, it's worth an experiment.
Millions of dollars of budget. A lot.
Right.
Like, the average
and
budget
if it works,
per employee. I'm sorry.
If it works, they get a clear, measurable financial payoff for it, where for an individual, if it works, life is better, not necessarily better financially. All right. The third company, can I say the name of the company? Let's
what
not say it.
Say
it's a major company.
It's a major company.
It's what?
Yeah. It's a major, let's say one of the world's largest cybersecurity companies.
Okay. I think most people will by that figure it out. How many of their people were you able to sign up?
First? Like just 5 people.
Just 5 people at first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that's how you start off. Give me just 5 of your people. Let's coach them. If this works and you see measurable results, go even further. How'd you get access to this company?
This is what I described.
Oh, this is
one,
the third company is just an
is
old
the third,
friend. Of,
the first,
got it.
The first one was all also like a personal, one of the partners, it was like an engineering company, a few hundred employees. And I knew one of the partners. He was my mentor in a program I volunteered for like many years ago. So I told him, hey, can I talk to your HR about that? And he connected me with her and then she had the need. The third company was HR business partner who studied with me and she liked the concept. She had the need. She said, why not? Let's try. Worst case, it will work. And it worked.
All right. And so now I see this model coming together. Now it's all about refining it. How do you refine the matchmaking process? How do you refine the search for mentorship process? How do you refine your sales process? The business works there. Do you did go beyond coaching. What's the difference between coaching and mentoring on your platform?
Great question.
Is it essentially the same?
Basically, coaching is helping people developing specific competencies, usually in the soft skills domain. Mentoring is what we call best practice exchange. So these are not professional people who develop other employees for a living. They're like VP sales. But people can benefit from VP sales working with them on, I don't know, creating a sales plan, creating a prospecting plan, doing things that are on their day-to-day agenda. So this is mentoring. Mentors are coaches or basically certified coaches, the professional. Mentors are people like you. You can be a mentor. The third population, by the way, is trainers. And that's like people who for their living, helping other people to do public speaking, negotiation, etc.
God, this would be something that maybe a sales company might bring a trainer in and they'd help them with their sales, or maybe frankly, they'd help them with their Zoom sessions or something like that. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about one of the problems that you had. You and Dan, good friends. How far back do you go?
And we met in 2013 and in the UK. We both worked there.
Okay, management consultants. And then you're now running a company that's growing, that makes sense. There's an investor that you two consider taking money from. One of you said no, the other said yes. How harsh was that argument? Be open.
This was harsh because my intuition went against it, but the logic didn't. And I think this was the only argument we had. And because that is very, very logic. He's like the most incredible person I know, like is the best hire at GrowthSpace. And our partnership works like a charm. I think I wish everyone to find a partnership like that. But back then it was in our early days of our partnership. It was like almost the first or second money we brought in from angel investors. And there was one individual that something didn't work in my stomach, but we needed the money. It was just before COVID hit. And then I went like back and forth and Dan was persistent and he was right because like, it's very hard to make decisions like that. And I went, yeah, the logic says yes, the intuition says no. And yeah, this was our first and maybe only fight that we had about anything. And since then, it's like smooth sail.
Had you just, would you decide to take the money?
Yes.
Has the investor been a pain? Oh, yes. Will you tell me who the person is later on?
In private. I don't want to.
All right, in private, just so in case anyone else, actually, frankly, to be honest, I'm not even going to prevent anyone else from working with them. I'm just so freaking curious about who it is and what the issue was. All right, I freaking love your business idea. Growth space makes so much freaking sense, right?
I think so. Yeah,
it absolutely does. Now it feels...
The bottom line, listen, when Dan and I started, he asked me, why do you want to be an entrepreneur? And he told me people do it for 4 reasons. They do it because of the fame, they do it because of the money, they do it because of the challenge, and they do it because of the impact. So I said it's between challenge and impact for me. And what I like about it, it's like you meet a lot of people, and now like, you know, it's becoming big. So you meet a lot of people who use Growth Space, who one of our experts like changed their lives, and like it's creating so much impact with like
Dude, ripple effect. Can I use it? Omar, if I needed it for presentations, can I go to Growth Space and hire somebody just for me, not for my team, but to say, I'm giving these webinars, I'm giving talks in public. I need one person to listen and give me ongoing feedback. Can I go to Growth Space as an individual, or do I have to buy it for my company?
For your company.
It has to be minimum of how many people?
Usually it's company above 200 employees, sometimes 150.
Wow. All right. So here's what I'm taking away from you on this. Number one, there's a lot that I'm taking away from this. Number one is going B2B makes a ton of sense. That a lot of ideas that we think of for individuals, if we just stretched ourselves a little bit and found ways to make it apply to companies, the growth would be more sensible and it would be easier once we nail it. So doing that. Number two, I think that whenever I think about personal growth, I think about the old way of doing things. How do I get an online class? How do I get an online video? But when I'm benefited the most, and those, I don't want to discount those. They absolutely help me. A YouTube video will help me. An online class will help me. Skillshare has been phenomenal for me. But there are topics that it feels almost weak to say, I need a person to watch me. I don't want to learn it on my own. It's not laziness. Maybe it is sometimes. I don't have enough time, laziness. Whatever it is, I accept it. And to just say, I'm leaning into people being better than software for helping. Doing with someone is better than learning it and figuring it out on my own. And I think that there's going to be more room for that. Just like courses expanded years ago, when I did courses on Mixergy, people thought it was weird. Why are you teaching? Why are you selling it? Then Udemy did it and people thought Udemy was weird and took them a while to get things going. And now there's Maven and all these other platforms. It's totally accepted. I think what you're doing is going to be totally acceptable. And then it's going to be growth beyond Growth Space. But you've picked up on the probably the cream of the crop here, the number one space. Maybe it's this and then like something specific like programming, where if you could get an individual to help, and I think it does exist in the development space, right? Where you can hire a teacher to work with your people individually.
Actually, I'm not sure, but I think it's since it's B2B, it's totally on our roadmap. Because eventually what we want to do is, I don't care what your challenge is, I have an expert for you. And the expert can be Andrew for public speaking, and it can be like Jane for programming. I don't care.
And you
as
know
long
what?
As it can help so you top, grow.
TopTal, my long standing sponsor, if you want to figure out how to do your projections, you pass it on to them and they'll do it. And I think that makes a ton of sense, and businesses will always need that. This is a new way of doing things. If you want to figure out projections by doing it yourself, instead of figuring it out for yourself, we'll have somebody come in and coach. All right. I freaking love this idea. All right. The website is growthspace.com. Omar, thanks so much for being on here.
Thank you so much, Andrew.
You bet. And for anyone who wants to run with my idea or any of the other ideas that I've come up with in past ads for HostGator, or your own idea, you need a website, go host it at hostgator.com/Mixergy. All right, I'm going to hit stop right now, and then I'm going to go to Omar, and I got to ask him about who this investor is. All right, let's both hit stop.